Welcome to Copyright Clearance in this podcast series. I'm Christopher Keneally for Beyond the Book. It's Friday, March 20th, 2020. Every week we check in with Publishers Weekly for the latest news on books and reading. Today, Andrew Albanese, PW senior writer, joins me from his home office in New York City. Welcome back to the program, Andrew.
Hey there, Chris.
So, Andrew, the social, economic, and political challenges posed by the coronavirus pandemic continued to mount this week. There is a raft of breaking news coming from publishing and the bookselling sectors. We will start, though, with an announcement from Publishers Weekly.
Yeah, well first off, I hope everyone listening today is okay and is coping and being smart and listening to the experts. This is a time for us to come together. And for those of us in the book business, Publishers Weekly announced this week that for the duration of this unprecedented crisis and the business disruptions it's causing, we are going to offer free access to all of our digital products. That means the digital magazine is now available for download for free, regardless of whether or not you're a PW subscriber. And that started with this Monday's issue, the March 16 issue. You can access that from the Publishers Weekly website or from the PW app, whether on iOS or Android. The website also, everything will be in front of the paywall. That's articles, bestseller lists, review database. Everything's going to be freely available. Also available is going to be the recently launched archive database, which I have to say is very cool. I mean, I think we could all use a little perspective in these troubling times. And, you know, few things offer better perspective than being able to go back and peruse the bestseller list from 1895 or how publishers ran during World War II. It's a scary time we're in now. We're all not only afraid of the virus, I think, but of the economic impact it's having on all of us, especially all of us in the book business. So this is just one thing that we were able to do to help, and we hope it does help.
Well, it's certainly a great opportunity to keep up on all the news coming from publishing and bookselling, Andrew, at publishersweekly.com. The most notable development of many this week would have to be Wednesday's announcement that Macmillan would abruptly abandon its embargo on library ebooks.
Yes, good point. It's over. And all it took was a global pandemic.
It's quite remarkable. So how did COVID-19 play a role in Macmillan's decision, do you think?
Well, on the face of it, the announcement, which was made by Macmillan CEO John Sargent in a very brief memo that was addressed to librarians, authors, illustrators, and agents, the first line stated that there are times in life when differences should be put aside. And I can assume that was in reference to this coronavirus crisis that we're all living through now. But I'd have to assume that because, as is their policy, since the Tor test embargo went into place in July of 2018, Macmillan is not speaking to the press about any of this.
Now, a full report is available on the PW site, but give us the broad strokes, Andrew, and your assessment for why now.
Sure. So, our readers will recall from last week that we discussed that there were three confidential proposals that Macmillan had sent to a select group of librarians asking for feedback on proposals that would have replaced the embargo with price hikes and a combination of other restrictions. So I think we knew that something was going to change in the short term with Macmillan. But, you know, 2 weeks ago when these proposals went out, you can go back and look at the headlines yourself. We were already in a pretty precarious spot, I think, with the coronavirus. So I guess the cynics among us might ask, at what point this week did Macmillan find religion? And looking at it, I think it's fair to say that John Sargent's road to Damascus moment came when schools started closing around the country and libraries closed and offices closed and bookstores were all closing and libraries are closing too. In fact, entire cities are closing. San Francisco is under a shelter in place order. One is said to be coming from New York City fairly shortly as well. At the same time, digital vendors like Overdrive, which supplies ebooks to the library community, are announcing plans to offer more free or reduced priced ebook content. Penguin Random House and other publishers are cutting prices. Penguin Random House made a big announcement this week about how it was offering cheaper ebooks and new options for licensing those ebooks to libraries. And then, of course, as PW reported this week too, Amazon said that it was going to deprioritize books in favor of other essential items. So, you know, people, you know, will be getting their doomsday prepper stuff, but books will be going out with less priority. So the long and short of it, I think, comes down to this for Macmillan this week. You know, we are in a crisis, clearly. And while I truly believe that John Sargent and Macmillan are good people and they want to help, they truly do want to help. The more crystallizing realization, I think, comes from what multiple librarians this week have told me. And that's that libraries and schools are preparing to make an unprecedented digital spend. With their physical locations closed, you can understand why. And under its current position, Macmillan was going to be pretty much shut out of that digital spend, or at least shut out to a lot of that digital spend. Now, I personally believe there was no way that Macmillan was going to be able to keep its embargo in place anyway. I think it's been a disastrous misstep for the publisher. The wheels were already in motion for this to be replaced, as we talked about last week. Shall I say the wheels were actually coming off? Because I think that's probably more accurate. But I think this crisis, the coronavirus crisis and the latest developments, made the library ebook embargo totally untenable. And I'd add, I think it also afforded John Sargent Macmillan a somewhat graceful dismount, I must say.
So how are librarians greeting the news?
Graciously, I think. You know, for the most part, every librarian I've spoken to has been pretty gracious about this. Extraordinarily welcome news in an unprecedented time is what ALA Senior Director for Public Policy Alan Inouye told me. Alan, of course, handles the ebook stuff for the American Library Association. But everyone is also seems to be acknowledging that while, you know, this embargo chapter, the specific embargo chapter is ending with Macmillan, a new broader chapter is starting for digital content in libraries and under some really very different and weird circumstances. You know, Michael Blackwell, who's the director of the St. Mary's County, Maryland Public Library and an organizer of the Readers First Coalition, called this a good starting point for more negotiations with good faith on both sides. And Carmi Parker, who's an ILS administrator in the Whatcom County Library System in Washington, Washington State, who she maintains a resource for libraries that are boycotting Macmillan in the wake of the embargo. Well, she greeted the news very warmly, said she was looking forward to ending the boycott of Macmillan content and getting Macmillan books back to her patrons. But she also noted that this is sort of a new chapter for digital content in libraries. And she made a key point, I think, and that's that this pandemic has highlighted how important library access is to ebooks and digital audiobooks and other resources.
Indeed, it's a great point. Who knows how long we will have limited or even no access to libraries and bookstores and schools?
That's right. So this is the moment for e-learning and e-reading, right? You know, we thought we were going to have this moment a decade ago or more, but it didn't really materialize. But without libraries and without bookstores and for who knows how long, do we really want Amazon to be the checkpoint for books and reading? You know, I don't think so. I think people are now going to realize what libraries offer already digitally, because they do offer quite a few resources already. I think they're also going to realize what libraries can't offer them digitally. And perhaps most importantly, I think this is going to draw attention to what terms and how much libraries pay for their content in the digital market. You know, I'll put it this way, as we come out of this crisis, and my friends, I do believe we are going to come out of this crisis, among our challenges, I think, are going to be two competing realizations. One is that local tax revenues from which libraries draw their support are going to be decimated, and that's going to hurt libraries. Coming up with the money to fund libraries when this is all over, it's going to be a challenge. But the other realization is that libraries and digital library access is more important than ever. I think we're going to see that we really need it. We can't live without it. So, long story short, I think this is a moment for national action. So Congress, get ready, and people, library supporters, start dialing your representatives.
Time then to run through the latest developments in the book world, Andrew, when it comes to the coronavirus.
Well, you can read all about these, of course, on the Publishers Weekly site. We've been very busy, even though we're working from home. All of us are now working remotely. I think the big hit to report here is that Penguin Random House this week announced that it was pulling out of Book Expo and BookCon as currently scheduled. That deals almost a severe, I would say almost fatal blow to the chances that we're actually going to have a Book Expo and a BookCon at New York City's Javits Center this year, in May at least. And making the announcement, Penguin Random House officials cited New York City and New York State guidance to substantially limit the size of events and the number of participants in public gatherings. And I have to imagine that's still going to be in place well into May. And this, of course, in the wake of the continued spread of the coronavirus. And as you know, we've had a pretty substantial outbreak here in New York City, to the point where City Hall has asked New York State for permission to use the Javits Center as a potential medical surge facility. This came out of reporting from Politico this week. PW also reported, however, that Book Expo organizers have come up with some alternate dates that they're exploring for Book Expo. So it is possible that we will have a Book Expo later in the year at some point. But still, given the way things are going with this crisis right now, I think we'd have to say that any future dates for Book Expo and BookCon would still have to be seen as tentative at best. Elsewhere in the PW site, we have a comprehensive list of closures and other developments regarding the coronavirus that's being constantly updated. John Marr and some of our other news people are really doing yeoman's work keeping that updated. You know, at this point, all of the major publishers have pretty much closed down their offices, and staff here in New York City are working from home. We can also report that as physical bookstore outlets began closing their doors last week, some of them began before that, but we really saw a number of closures start last week, that unit sales of print books have fallen 10% for the last week. That's compared to the previous week in March, according to NPD BookScan. And of course, when bookstores close and sales fall, that means layoffs. So thousands of bookstore employees are finding themselves furloughed or laid off this week. Most recently, sad news right there in our co-producer Jeremy Brisky's hometown, The Tattered Cover, which operates four locations in and around Denver, Colorado, has put more than 100 employees on unpaid temporary leave. So that is a sad development, which I'm afraid we're only going to be seeing more of in the coming weeks. Again, it's all really very sad stuff. And again, all I can do is reiterate the gravity of the moment that we're all facing. You know, for anyone who might be inclined to go party on the beach in Miami for spring break, like some people are doing, please be smart. We're all going to get through this together, but we need to be smart and let's take care of one another.
And to close on a positive note, Andrew, the Kid Lit community is certainly stepping up, as an article on the PW site reports. This is a story you can relate to with your own two children home from school.
Yes, that's right. You know, and honestly, there's some really good stuff coming out of a lot of people right now. And the article you referred to on the Publishers Weekly website about the reaction of Kid Lit to the closures of schools and libraries is a real bright spot. And yes, on Tuesday, my kids did a virtual drawing class with the great Mo Willems. You know, I raised my kids on those pigeon books, as I imagine many of our listeners have as well. And I've always loved Mo Willems. And let me tell you, of all the moments that Mo Willems has given my family over the years, that hour of drawing with my kids while my wife and I tried to get some work done, well, that might have been the most appreciated yet. Anyway, this is a great place to close because it's a reminder of the good in people. As Mr. Rogers famously said, in times of crisis, look for the helpers. So I want to thank Mo Willems for helping my family out this week. And I hope it reminds us that there probably is something that we can all be doing to be helpers ourselves. And please stay safe, everyone.
Indeed, Andrew, good advice for us all. Stay safe, stay out of trouble. Andrew Albanese, Publishers Weekly senior writer. Thanks for joining me on Beyond the Book.
My pleasure, as always.
Coming next on Beyond the Book, throughout March, Copyright Clearance Center will deliver a series of virtual programming originally intended for London Book Fair presentations. For a complete schedule, please visit copyright.com/LBF2020. Researchers and publishers have much in common. Both want to make a difference. They want to advance human health and well-being, the health of our planet, and of our society. Spurred by the movement toward open access and open science, transformative agreements prescribe educational programs on open access publishing for scholars. On their own and with third-party vendors, publishers also provide editorial assistance, social media services, and career development guidance. Panelist Catherine Sharples of Wiley told me how scholarly publishers like her own have taken up a range of approaches to strengthen their relationships with researchers.
A significant element of our agreement with Project Deal has been to develop and to deliver a series of workshops at institutions across Germany over the past few months and continuing throughout the course of this year and beyond. And those workshops are very much focused on helping authors to understand the publishing process, to kind of see under the hood, if you like, or see under the bonnet of the publishing process, and to understand the benefits that publishing open access can bring to them and their research in terms of visibility and in terms potentially of the reuse of their work by others in order to expedite future research.
A common lot publishers, and researchers. Next on Beyond the Book. Beyond the Book is produced by Copyright Clearance Center. Our co-producer and recording engineer is Jeremy Brisky of Burst Marketing. Subscribe to the program wherever you go for podcasts and follow us on Twitter and Facebook. The complete Beyond the Book podcast archive is available at beyondthebook.com. I'm Christopher Keneally. Thanks for listening and join us again soon on CCC's Beyond the Book.